You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast. This is Ben Wolf, your host as always. I want to get into talking about with our guest today, how to create a great culture. And before we get into talking about that, I want to remind everybody that, as you know, this is the official Win-Win, is the official podcast of the Wolf's Edge Integrators fractional COO firm, and that we have several great resources there that I want to point you to that you could use to have a great culture, among other things, right? One of them, in terms of having a great COO, is how do you create a roadmap for your own organization like a great experienced COO would? That we have on our website, we have a page called wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. That's wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. The top one over there is an amazing resource that you could use in your own business called a roadmap, something that we do with our clients. It's a simplified version of that with a video guide. How do you create a roadmap to get from where you are now to where you want your business to be? How do you create a roadmap to take you on that path? So we have a video guide on how to use it. There's a few other great resources there. So definitely invite you to check that out. wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And with that, I want to get introducing our guest today. He is the CEO of a firm that does marketing, branding, business services agency called PTEX Group. He's had this firm for over two decades. He's also the creator and host of the Let's Talk Business podcast, which was gracious enough to have me on a couple of months ago. And with that, I give you Manny Hoffman. And you can find out more about him and his firm, his podcast, at ptexgroup.com. That's ptexgroup.com. And welcome, Manny.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, my pleasure. I appreciate you making the time to do this. And I think what would be really helpful, and like our listeners and viewers know, we ask everyone, which is if you could please give us like a quick 2-minute background, a little context on where you came from and how you got to be talking about and why you're talking about something, because you're a marketing agency, right? Why are we talking about building a great culture? You know, where'd you come from? Give us a little context for how we got to be talking about this today.
Sure. So from when I was young, I always loved to create stuff. So as you hear, like a lot of times, the kids with a lemonade stand or the kid that creates the, you know, homemade coloring book and sells it to the neighbors. So that was me as a kid. And as I was growing older, I wanted to think about doing something. I wanted to do something that is meaningful and it's also impactful in a way that it's not just a person buying a transaction, buying a bottle of milk, and by the time the milk is gone, it's over. I felt anything graphic, branding, marketing related, the work that I do produces results long term. I started doing graphic design in the nonprofit sector, so automatically, it actually was even more meaningful at the time. But with time, I figured that if somebody has a great product or service and all they're missing is that marketing material to let the world know about their service or product, if I could give them that, ultimately, they'll reap the rewards for many, many months, years to come. So we started that business, and that's how we started our company in the first place.
That is great. And I know from multiple clients that I've had over the years or that members of my team have had over the years that they talk about PTEX. I've heard, they have used you or use you or you're their main marketing firm. So definitely have heard your name and your company's name for many years. And since we're talking about building a great culture today, if you could please like share something about, was there a time in PTEX Group's history where the culture was maybe not what you would have wanted it to be? And, you know, if you could describe what things were like then.
Sure. So every company starts off with an individual. And in our case, it was my partner and myself. We started the firm. And as you start to grow, that's when problems start occurring. And I use a line, which it's very easy to grow a company, but it's managing the growth that's the hard part. You could grow a company easily, like in the first few months until things start to taking on and people are using your services. But as soon as you say, you know what, I can't do it by myself, I need to start hiring people, that's when you start, you know, we call it scaling. That's when things start falling apart. Why? Because if you started a company, you're the best salesperson. You're the best creative guy.
Right.
You're great at your numbers. You know how to price projects. You know how to estimate how long things will take and everything else. But now you need to let people into your secrets. You need to let people into exactly how you do stuff. And maybe people, not maybe, most of the time, people don't think exactly like you do. And then they don't do things exactly like you do. So now you have to create systems and processes and build a foundation for scalability. And that's where most people fail, most companies fail. And when we have these statistics, the 80% of businesses fail within the first 4 years, 5 years, all these different statistics that's documented, those companies made millions of dollars in sales. It's not that they didn't have customers. They did have customers. Most of the time they failed because they actually had too many customers to survive their operations. Mm. And for that reason is when scalability comes into play and you're not set up for that, that's when you fail. And speaking about our own company, I was starting to feel that, and I was looking high and low and trying to educate myself what is really needed. And I remember going to an event, which was a pivotal moment in my educational, let's call it my educational journey as a leader. And it was a 3-day event, and we were all about leadership, all about culture and everything that a leader needs to know. And it was the end of the second day. Towards the end of the day, whoever gave that course went around the room. Everybody should share an aha moment that they learned from the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Came to me. I said, I came in thinking that all my team members are at fault. I think I'm going home knowing that I'm totally at fault. And the person said, wait a minute, Manny, why are you so harsh on yourself? Like you're taking all the blame on yourself. I said, yes, because now I learned what a leader is really about. And if the person has the capabilities of being a great employee of my team, then it's my duty to actually teach that person and coach that person in order to get to the best version of what they could be for the company. If this person is sitting on the wrong seat or in the wrong company, it's my obligation to let the person go. So everything starts and stops and ends with the leader. So that was my pivotal moment in my leadership, understanding that there's really something that a leader needs to do in order to see success in their company. And one of the first things I learned at that time and then from there on is a great team makes great clients. Great clients make great happy shareholders. And if you go in that order, that's how you get the results that you really need or you want. So speaking about culture, that's when I started seeing that it's worth investing in a company culture, because you get a great ROI from the work and the time that you spend on company culture. Now, speaking about company culture, obviously your listeners are pretty familiar with it because this is a topic that you speak a lot about. But I think it's important to say, when I approach businesses and I speak about company culture and I ask them, name a business with a great company culture, the first name that will most of the time come to mind will be Google, because they confuse ping pong tables and babysitting service with a great culture. Those are perks. There's a mm-hmm. room and a place for perks in a company. A great culture means you're first fostering a culture of excellence. You're fostering a place where people could come in, grow on the job, learn, get the proper feedback, be comfortable sharing their ideas, sharing their feedback. And it's a culture where we respect each other for what they bring to the table and what they're able to produce for the company as value. So company culture is something that every leader has to be focused on, and it doesn't happen by accident. It comes with a lot of work, and every company has a culture. The question is, what type of culture do you want your company to have?
Right. I want to get in a second to, you know, talk about putting work into company culture. Talk about that. You talked about the ROI of investing in the culture of the company and the culture of excellence. Before I get into those actions that you would advise people can take, or presumably that you are already taking at PTEX Group. Take us a time machine forward. You spoke about the past and what things were like at a point when you realized there was a lot of issues and that maybe you weren't being as good of a leader that you needed to be. Take us a fast forward in time to like now, or like after things got better. Like paint us a picture now of what a great culture, you know, looks like and feels like. What is it like?
Sure. I think the best example I could give by the time we're recording this is last week was the wedding of my oldest son.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. And having a table, about 12 to 15 people that used to work at PTEX, some of them are actually competitors as we speak.
Hmm.
attend and sit there means that everybody appreciated the time they spent in the company. And I think that's an important point. Is I always tell employees, and actually today I onboarded a new team member in our company, and this is a line I use every single time I interview a person and they get the job, and then also towards the end of their career and when we need to part ways. It's going to come a time that either you're going to outgrow the company or the company will outgrow you. While you're here, I want to make sure every single day you learn, you grow, and you bring value to the company. And that line helps me constantly know that I have to push forward. If the person wants to expand their skill set, are we giving them the opportunity, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it comes to a point where the person says, you know what, I think I want to move on. And it's no hard feelings. Well, let's do the transition properly in a way that it makes sense for both of us. And at the same time, sometimes the company has shifted and now that role is not needed anymore. How could we make that in a transition in the right way? And everybody should know the reasons. It's nothing personal and so on and so forth. So to answer you directly, your question is, it's something that you constantly as a leader has to make sure that people are comfortable coming to work. If somebody walks up our stairs or takes the elevator and they breathe a little heavy, that means something with the culture is wrong. Sometimes they bring it along from the outside, but the work needs to be a place where they feel that they wanna love coming to the office. They wanna be part of the team. They wanna be able to contribute to the team and so on and so forth. And a leader has to make sure that that's the culture that they're building.
So let's talk about the things that you've been doing to be building a culture like that. What are some of the main initiatives or things that you've invested in, whether time or money, into making things the way they should be culture-wise?
So I'll give you some high-level stuff and then some practical stuff that we've implemented. So first of all, one of the main things when a leader wants to know, are they working toward the culture, is the first thing is, do they have the sense of clarity for themselves, what type of company they want to build? And are they casting that clarity to their team? So that starts with the bigger picture of where the company is going. And second of all, with every single person in their team, is there a clear path of how that person's value will be evaluated? So in our case, we have developed a system called the KRA reviews, which is key results areas. So every single employee knows that, you know, in the corporate world, it's called KPIs. Obviously, we call it key results areas. And we have developed the three E's. So every single role in our company has the three E's. The first E is effectiveness. You know, this is how your work will be measured, of the effectiveness of your work.
Okay.
The second is efficiency. Are you efficient on how you produce that result? And the third, are you part of the culture of excellence? Which means, how are team members speaking about you? How are people, how much are you contributing, supporting other team members, maybe it's, even if it's outside of your exact role? So those are the three things that on an ongoing basis, in particular, as a new employee, the first one will be after 30 days, and then it's going to go into the rhythm of every quarter, where we'll actually sit with those team members and go through those three E's, not in a sense of scorecard in terms of, you know, giving a report card for an employee, but in a conversation format. So it's very one-on-one, genuine. Here's where we feel from those three E's, where you're excellent and where is the place room for improvement.
And how do you measure things like efficiency or things like what other people are saying about you?
Sure. So let's take any example. Well, we could speak about graphic designers. We could speak about bookkeepers, because these three things, and we worked a lot of time to perfect it in a way that it's applicable to every position in the company. But let's say a bookkeeper. So if the books are great, which means everything is in the right accounts and everything is up to date and reports and everything else, and we could trust the reports, which is very important on a bookkeeper, that means the work is effective. But if they're telling you that's going to be on Thursday, and then because Monday you're meeting with your accountant, or an email is being sent to them and it takes them 24 hours or 2 days to respond, which means, or they come late every single day and stuff like that, that means they're not efficient in what they do, or they don't get to stuff.
This is something that you don't have to create new ways of measuring. It's just that the manager will just, by dint of their role, will be aware of all these.
Yeah. Speaking about the graphic designer, if the client loves what they do and it's on objective and everything else, then the work is effective. But if they spend twice as amount of time than they're supposed to originally allocate it for the project, which means they messed up the forecasting, they messed up the schedule and everything else, which means they're not efficient about how they do it. Again, there's always stories to different things what takes it out from the typical equation, but you get a sense on an ongoing basis. And the beauty of that is if when you have these conversations, a lot of times when in employers or leaders have meetings with their team members, it becomes that I feel this way, you feel that way. When it becomes very factional on those three areas, the person says, thank you for bringing it to my attention. I know already I'm great at my effectiveness. I'm great as part of a culture. All I need to do is be better at efficiency. And now I'm an A-plus employee. And that's a great, and everybody wins.
Right.
So that's on an ongoing, on overall answer, which is answering how automatically there's better clarity towards how they contribute to the team and so on and so forth. That's one of the things we do. On a practical level, as far as what do we do, projects and services we do internally, we have a book it initiative, which we actually pay $50 for every book you read. And the reason for that is we want, a lot of times people come in or they grow into a role. They weren't a leader beforehand. They didn't manage people beforehand. Now they need to manage. So maybe you read a good book that will give you that. If you want to become a better customer service rep, you want to answer the phones better. So you could take a book from our library. You could read any type of book. All we ask you to do is fill out a certain form where we ask you, like, for the three things you learned from that book. Do you recommend the book for other people? And then we send those book reviews get sent around for the whole team. So even people that are not readers, sometimes they could just look at those.
A couple of bullet points.
Correct. And there are books that five or six or seven people read afterwards based on the reviews. We recently added podcasts and other type of forms of content just to mix up the mediums, because not everybody loves reading books. So that's one of the things we do. We also have a system that we signed up with, which is an internal program for our culture, which we have challenges that you could do. And you also get every single month points that you must give away. So you get a certain points that are equivalent to dollars that you must give away. So if the month goes by and you didn't give it away, it gets lost. So people are forced, so to speak, to find throughout the month other team members that did something amazingly well to support them or something they did for a project and give them those points. And you must also select a reason. And most of those reasons are tied to our core values, our ethos. So attention to detail, we're partners, not service. We're partners and not vendors. Should it be, tangible results? All of those different ethos that are ingrained in our culture, which I forgot to mention, that's also part of our culture. Which just to show you quickly, we have this product. This is actually True Courage, which shows one of our core values is true courage, making sure that people are not afraid to speak when something is on their mind. So instead of eating themselves up or not feeling unheard or unlistened, whatever it is, there's something, one of our core values called true courage. That's something we do. And then we have like stuff that other companies would have, high fives, Monday morning huddles. So the team could give credit for people when they do. When we get testimonials, we make sure to send it out to the whole team, so everybody sees a project that somebody worked on and feedback came in. And the end of the day, it's not about those details that I just mentioned. It's about being intentional about your culture. I once had a conversation with a leader and I asked him about this culture, and he says, oh, I have amazing culture. And he said, how much effort do you put in to your culture, working on your culture? He says, well, a lot. He said, you know what? Open your calendar. Let me see how much blocks on your calendar you have focused on conversations or brainstorming ideas how to improve your culture. And every successful leader that wants to have a great culture will find those blocks in their calendar, because it doesn't happen by accident. You have to foster it. You always have to improve it, come up, be innovative, come up with ideas. And last but not least is, now we're going into the holiday season where a lot of companies have terrible culture, unfortunately. And the CEO or the leader thinks that they're going to throw money at a party and that's going to be enough. And I've heard it too many times from employees. It says, you know what? Rather compliment me when I do something, I go out of my way, than throw a party at the end of the year, right? Which is true. You could throw a party, there's a place for that, but it doesn't replace all your action as a leader that you do all year long.
Right. There's more I would want to explore on everything because you touched on a lot of stuff, but just one other thing. I want to ask you about onboarding process, like with new people, because I had one past company I was involved in where we did a big employee survey at one point, and then continued doing it repeatedly after that. But the first time we did it, one of the most surprising things we saw was that of all the types of employees, that the lowest average ranking of like engagement and happiness was with the newest employees, with people who had been there less than 6 months, was the lowest, which you'd think, oh my God, that's like the honeymoon period or whatever. Like, you know, it's people are new. And we just realized that we really had a bad onboarding process. That, you know, we took care of all the HR documents and activities, and then we just sort of threw everyone with a TL or a manager to shadow, or with their colleagues on the same team to shadow for a while, and then just kind of eventually threw them in. And that was the, you know, and that was the training and onboarding process. And, you know, it was not effective. And so we, you know, we learned a lot from that exercise and started to try to do a better job and have... eventually started having a dedicated person for each team just for training, you know, so that, cause then the TLs and the managers couldn't like, they were like training half the time and like, they weren't available for their team, or they're available for their team, but not available for training. So, you know, it was one of the ways that we addressed that. But what, how do you approach onboarding like new people and setting, I guess, people up for success and not have a very rocky beginning?
This is such an important point, and I think it's so overlooked by so many companies. How many times have you heard the story where the person, after intense negotiation, finally came to the first day to work, and they're sitting in the lobby, and their manager shows up 2 hours later, and then they say, oh, the computer wasn't set up, the phone wasn't set up, this wasn't set up, and then they don't, like, it's a very bad impression when the person has to go home the first week and say, you know what, I'm actually not doing anything yet because nothing is set up. Our process, again, there's always room for improvement, but we're focused on that very much, which is we have a checklist, computers, those type of things all have to be set up beforehand. There's an employee handbook. We have a very solid employee handbook for most of the questions that go out. Once a person gets onboarded, they get understanding who is going to train them and how the training will work. So they at least get to know what to expect. What, you know, the expectation is half of it. Every single employee, regardless which department, I'll have a session where I'm going to teach about the culture, about the team, the overall team, what type of projects we do, what's our mission, what's our vision, what's our core values. And I go through every single core value, why we chose it and why it's important. We have a booklet for that. Just a core value booklet, which we give for every employee. Then the onboarding process starts, which means is for a period of a couple of days, first they get a couple of emails. They get emails, and believe it or not, we collected those things. At one point, we wanted to perfect our onboarding process. We sent out an email to every employee in the company. What are the things that you wish you would know the first day and only found out weeks later? And it's simple as, oh, I thought payroll is every week. Not bi-weekly. My computer was broken and I didn't want to bother my manager. I didn't know who to go to. There was forks was missing from the kitchen, and I didn't know, like, is there any place where I could let people know that we're missing some paper goods? Any of those type of things. So they get like two emails like that with all kinds of FAQs,
right,
that we compile. And it's as simple as that. Every company has these FAQs that just compile it. Then, as I mentioned to you before about core values, every single day, they'll get a reminder of a core value with a story, how that applies to their role. And it's very cool because the employees that get it in the beginning actually use this opportunity to respond and say, I love this one because of X, Y, Z. This is so much better than, because I remember my old company, we had this issue. So it's just in fostering that understanding of why we chose the core values. If the first time we spoke about it, a little overwhelming, now it's there. And then, as I mentioned to you, the 30 days, the 3 months, this is also something that I've seen a lot of companies do wrong, and we try to do this better, which is a lot of companies will have quarterly reviews. But you know how it's going to happen? One day The manager wakes up. Oh, you have a few minutes now? Come in my office. I want to speak to you. We have implemented the automated process where the leader and the employee, both of them, will get an email 5 days before the review. In 5 days, we'll have a review. I want you to prepare yourself for the review the same way that I'll prepare myself as well. So when we have those reviews or we have those quarter reviews, that person is equally speaking about what they feel is important to speak about. So it becomes a two-way conversation versus one person speaking. And again, no onboarding or no training or no fostering a relationship with employees perfect. But at least if you're intentional about some of the stuff, a process that works 60% of the time is way better than a process that doesn't work at all.
Right. Or no process.
Correct. And I'll encourage people listening to this. If you don't have a process at all, version one is better than version none. Maybe sit down today or tomorrow and create a somewhat of a process. At least you could follow. You could tell a new employee, these are the steps we're going to go through it. And expect in the first few weeks, these are the steps you're going to do. Because the momentum a new employee has could easily fade away. And it's very hard to gain it back.
Right. That's great stuff. Manny, I really appreciate you making the time for this conversation. People can find out more about PTEX Group and marketing, branding, business services, the Let's Talk Business podcast. Manny's podcast is very illustrious guest, much more illustrious than me, ptexgroup.com. You can learn more and really appreciate you making the time. Thank you.
Sure. And I'm also very active on LinkedIn. So it's Manny with an E, Manny Hoffman. Follow me on LinkedIn. And if send me a message that you heard this podcast, I'll appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it too. All right. So check out Manny Hoffman, M-E-N-Y Hoffman on LinkedIn, ptexgroup.com. And thanks for making the time. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.